Hello, crew. What is happening? Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day to everybody out there. Hopefully your week's going good. Maybe at least if you live west of the eastern seaboard, if you're in the path of Florence out there. I don't know. Hopefully you get the heck out of Dodge at this point, because some crazy things going on with Miss Florence. But welcome to Next Generation, live here on YouTube, simulcast over on Gun Channels. So let me grab that Gun Channels link. I normally do that, drop it in the YouTubes, just in case there's somebody over that way not familiar. You can go check that. Go check that out. Starting late, here's the here is the skinny. Our guest, Marco, is from South Africa. You know, and it is a little past like 2 in the morning there. So you're not muted, Ghost. Hang on, let me get him. I don't know that he wants us here in this conversation. Anyway, our guest Marco is from South Africa. And everything went great in the test yesterday. I don't know what's going on. I haven't been able to make contact with him or his dad. So not real sure what's going on. Hopefully, hopefully everything's okay. The links are out there, so he can jump in, I guess, between now and top of the hour. And if he does, we'll definitely have a conversation with Marco. I was looking forward to it. Seemed like he was open to, just about any questions, because, you know, being from South Africa, I certainly had a slew of questions, you know, as far as, you know, how you obtain a firearm in that country, and, you know, what the regulations are, and all of that kind of stuff. Kevin out there, Tag Daddy, he says he is Marco, not that Marco, talking about Marco Duplessis. So, yeah. So if he jumps in, great. If not, well, we'll just have to vamp a little bit here. And I think what we're going to do is we'll probably recap some of the stuff that has gone on in the past, and then talk about some things coming up in the future for the show here. Let me go ahead and grab a link before I forget to drop out there. I'm going to grab the link to clovertac.com, and the reason is, first of all, I mean, regardless of what platform you prefer, you're probably going to find the links there to be able to follow everything on that. But we're looking at giving away one of the new caps. I did get those ordered. Did hear back from the lady on those. Got those ordered. They'll be hopefully made before the end of the week, be able to pick those up. And then I'm going to get something out there to be able to do a giveaway for one of those caps. A key component of being eligible for that is going to be that you go to clovertac.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and sign up for the email list, or sign up to get your name on the email list, right? So that's definitely going to be a component of that. So if you go ahead and do that, when we get ready to give that cap away here, hopefully within the next week, you'll be ahead of the game. So that's awesome. Let me go ahead and do that on the Gun Channel site as well, and then see who's out there, because we got several. G-Webs is hanging out on the Gun Channel site. Einstein's out there. Clay looks like it's over that way. Pete and Mr. Rick. And it kind of got a little jinky on me there, so there may be even more than that. As far as the YouTubes, our man Pete was first out there. Mr. Buck looks like he came in second. Gizzard's out that way. So is Jen Davis. Rich White out there in the chats, as well as Andrew. How are you? The Kingpin's with us. Georgia Trucker is out there. He says CloverTac Productions International Recognition. Hickok who? Well, I don't have international recognition just yet. Oh, have our international guest, but it happens. WP in the house. That's Warsaw Patriot, of course. Attack Daddy had to come in and troll. That guy's wife's out there. and a few others. Remember, if you're out there, again, our guest could come in while we're talking and doing our thing here. And if he does, then you're more than welcome to pose questions in the chat. Now, up until that time, as we're talking about stuff, if you have questions about, user-related topics or, anything along that line, certainly throw them in the chat. I think we're going to talk about past shows, like I said. Be sure that you tag one of us here on the panel, and we'll try to get to those. Hey, Caleb. Caleb is in the house with us, too, it looks like. So let me go ahead and open the room up here to my producers or helpers or whatever you want to call it for the evening. We got Mike out there. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing great. Getting ready for this storm to come through. I'm trying to make a determination of what I'm going to do. But until I make that determination, I'll be here talking with you and everybody else that's listening.
Now, are you in one of the evacuation counties?
No. I actually live in Columbia, South Carolina. So I'm a little bit like Myrtle Beach is 3 hours from me. Charleston, South Carolina is about an hour and a half, if that kind of gives you a perspective from okay. Myrtle Beach is just a little bit north of me and Charleston is just a tad bit south of me. So if you correlate that, kind of triangulate it, it kind of gives you an idea of where I'm at. So I'm an hour from Charlotte, if that means anything to you.
Right. Gotcha. And Ghost is helping us out too. How are you, Ghost?
What's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought I was muted earlier. My fault.
I muted you. Yeah.
I know you did. I didn't realize that I wasn't muted.
You were carrying on the conversation. And I was
talking about it, forced from fire with my wife. So, yeah. I was
like, okay, he might not want that conversation aired publicly, so we might need to mute that. it happens. It does. Now, David Boland, the kingpin out there, has a question. It's not youth related, but since we're sort of waiting around kind of to see what happens with Marco here, he says, how do I link my videos to gun channels? Can I use my phone or do I need a computer? You can use your browser on the phone, as far as I know, to copy and paste the links in there.
Yes, you can.
There's no app, but I mean, it still will work in the browser. So just use your browser like you would the computer browser. The difference is you got to use your fingers instead of a keyboard or a mouse, unfortunately, but should work. As far as we were talking off air there while we were waiting, got something cool coming up on the show. What, the third? Did I say the 3rd of October? I believe it was. Yeah, 3rd of October, so a few weeks out. But going to be an interesting one that week as well. Dustin Ellerman will be on. Been trying to get him on a show for some time now. So finally got him cornered into a date, which is awesome. But he going to bring him on and more so talk about his marksman camp and stuff like that is what I would like to do. How you got those started, what all that they do there. I've seen tons and tons of pictures, but just kind of get an idea how many kiddos go through there and all that good kind of stuff. And then I'm sure he's probably open to, answering some questions, talking a little bit about Top Shot as well. I can't remember what season he was. Was that 3? Either of you remember, Ghost or Mike?
No, was it?
It was 2 or 3.
Yeah, it was either 2 or 3. I can't remember which one.
It was the 2nd or 3rd. I can't remember. So, I know that it was one of the most runaway finales that I'd ever seen on a show in my life. It wasn't even funny. God, it was just a blowout.
They still try to make it dramatic, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, he was just like, he was what, 4 or 5 stages or something.
Oh, it was bad.
Ahead. I mean, it was just a runaway. It wasn't even from the beginning. It wasn't even close. And yeah, it was some pretty crazy stuff. So we may get a little behind the scenes and stuff like that on that. I don't know. But yeah, let's talk a little bit about past shows. Favorite guest, I guess. Let's talk about that. And if you're out there in the chat, jump in with that too. If you remember, maybe what they talked about. You might not necessarily remember a name or anything, but you have a favorite guest, Mike, that's been on a Wednesday show the last few weeks?
I forgot the little guy's name. He had everything. He really didn't have to leave the house.
He had the shipping container. He had the range that was built out of the shipping container. Yeah.
Yeah, that little guy, he was actually fun to talk to. You know, I was dying laughing. Even when I went back and listened to the show, I was like, man, that guy's full of energy. It was like just a blast to listen to also.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I think that was Nate. That was definitely pretty wild. Now, Ghost, you missed a couple being busy. But do you have one that sticks out in your mind?
And they've all been good. But I guess the one that sticks out in my mind was Ryan, because he was the first one. And he was the first person that I knew that shot in a college team. So I thought that was really interesting to see how a college team works, because I had never known anyone or talked to anyone that shot on a college team. So that was really, I think it was Clemson, wasn't it? I think it was
Clemson. Yeah, it was Clemson.
But, yeah, he was interesting. All of them have been good. I think the three girls from the same shooting team. That was awesome to get different perspectives from South Texas Shooters or something.
South Texas Shooters, yeah.
Yeah. And that was interesting to get three different perspectives from girls that are shooting different things and all that. But, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Guitar Man Pete out there says, guns, cars, football, and girls. That was last week. It was John who was with us last week. So, busy schedule. That's what's crazy about pretty much every one of them that was on there. I mean, you can lump Ryan in there with them or whatever. They, you know, between school and, you know, what little other hobbies they have or work or, you know, and then practice and the competition and everything else. You know, it's crazy that they're able to seemingly burn the candle at both ends. Right.
I tell you, the one thing that's been, at least on the girl side, that it's pretty amazing. It doesn't surprise me, but it does. But not only are they obviously very good shooters at such a young age, but like I think all of them have been like honor society type kids. I mean, they're like very highly educated, very intelligent kids, and like I said, it doesn't surprise me, but it's kind of interesting to see that trend. You know?
Yeah. Were you going to jump in there, Mike?
Yeah, I was only going to say, like, when you pretty much listen to the kids talk and watch them shoot and they understand the fun factor, they're not dealing with the stress of adult life yet. So that's why they're blazing it down. And, you know, it's like, go take over the world. Just be there and have fun with it.
No, you're still here. That guy's wife out there, she says that Bailey, which was the archer we had on, and then Jason, which was the one that was going to the shotgunner. He's actually the only shotgunner we've had. So when she said that was her favorite, just simply because we both spent time with them. Our youngest one was doing all the competition stuff. So. She made a comment to me, and that's something that I didn't mention on the show with Jason, that night, but my wife had said something to me. She's like, you know, watching him shoot shotgun is like watching a robot or a machine, you know, mm-hmm. And she's like, and I don't mean that in a bad way, you know. But it's crazy. It was crazy watching that kiddo, because the movements were so you could tell that it was all just a natural muscle movement type thing, right? But the movements were so precise and exact. You know, he would break the shotgun, slap the rounds down with one hand, load with the other hand. You know what I'm talking about? And it's just, it was the same. It was like you filmed him taking a shot and then put it on repeat.
Right.
Because it was the same over and over and over and over. And I mean, that's why he's good. Let's face it. But it's that repetition factor. But yeah, it was, you know, always insane. And then, you know, to the point she mentions with Bailey, the archer we had, you know, just seeing her come along. I mean, she, from the first time we were ever at a match with her, I mean, she was, she was nailing them. She was good. So, to see her, you know, kind of come along and improve even more, you're pretty impressive. Hemi out there. He says he's at Wendy's eating 50 cent Frosties with the kids. That's awesome. That actually sounds good. So, Trucker says he's got a get, looks like. He says his supper's ready. So, we'll see you later.
I think Frosties are an actual food group, aren't they?
I don't know. I mean, Frosties is one of the things I've never given much thought to what a Frosty is. I hate to jump down that rabbit hole, but
I know it's always good. That's a lot.
Always comes back to food for some reason. But yeah, I mean, you can eat them. You can dip your fries in them. There's all kinds of things. Now, my wife out there, that guy's wife, says the goodie bag. Yeah, that's my go-to at Wendy's. Is a goodie bag and a Frosty works for me for sure. You get the 99 cent fries, right? And then you get the 99 cent or dollar menu, whatever it is, right? Fries, and then you get the chicken nuggets. And what we would always do, or I would always do with the kids, and we just called it a goodie bag, is we'd drive through there and I would get, you know, like three things of the nuggets and then like two things of the fries and just dump them all in the bag together. Called that the goodie bag. So, Kingpin out there says, do any of the kids give you names of other kids to interview? Some of them have, Kingpin. The obviously the girls with South Texas Shooters, and then I think maybe the kiddo we had last week, one of those girls had sort of helped make contact there. So those kind of led one into another in a way. It's really hard making contact, and it's really hard nailing down dates and getting them scheduled, and then, you know, things fall apart. I mean, that happens too. I mean, let's look at tonight, for example. I don't know what happened. But again, I mean, the guest we were supposed to have tonight, Marco, is in South Africa, 7 hours ahead of us, or ahead of me anyway. So, you know, it's what, 2:30 in the morning there. So who knows what could have what could have transpired. I mean, there could be weather related issues. The internet could be out. But who knows? But it's really hard making contact. You make contact. And as a matter of fact, I've made contact twice with one parent. And right now I can't even remember the name, for example, but I made contact twice, and both times it was like, we're interested, whatever. And they never followed up. They never followed through. And I can't, when I've got other guests, other kiddos scheduled to come on and whatever, I can't do this just willy nilly. It's not that where I can, you know, and I think that's part of the issue is with doing this live. You know, they're locked into a certain day and time. Whereas if I was to do this, as a recorded podcast, I could go in, we could do it pretty much anytime, right? And just throw it out there. So, but live is where you guys out there get all the interaction. So, And vibe is also, you know, a lot of your questions and stuff have really pushed the conversation, not just on this Wednesday show, but on every live show that we get. Heck, the Monday show is all you guys pushing the conversation. So, you know, it's great to have that, that live interaction, and it really helps the shows along. So, but yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, I think what might have happened, and this may be something, because again, these kids have, I think there was one of them, didn't one of them say, it seems like I remember one of them said they played volleyball or something, didn't they? Or do either one of you remember?
I remember one of them saying soccer before.
Ah, okay, maybe
it was soccer. Yeah. I think she was the one that went to like the charter school or something like that.
Okay, maybe it was soccer then. It was something. So, you know, these kids obviously do other things. So, you know, as you start moving from summer and then you get over into, we're September now, and kids are back to school and kind of in the swing of school and then trying to keep up with grades. And, you know, I don't know, these shows could be just one more thing on their plate that they just don't have time for. No, Tack Daddy out there keeps hollering for a hurricane update. I don't know, dude. All I can say is, peace be with everybody in the way, and they need to be looking at their own weather because I haven't kept up with it.
There's a channel on cable and satellite called the Weather Channel.
Right.
Might want to check that out.
Yeah. AccuWeather, you know, on the internet. That's another good one. I did read earlier. I will appease Troll Daddy for a second there. He's a shark seen in the eye and beyond. Yeah, I'm sure. I did read, for those listening that are close, something you may take into consideration if you're very close to the coast in that area, because you're looking at the eye wall and all of that good stuff being pretty massive with this thing. They measured an 83-foot wave out of that thing, so that's pretty serious. So, definitely don't. You know, definitely don't take it light, for sure.
Don't try to go surfing that either.
Yeah.
I just wanted to rain so my grass can grow. That's all I want.
You got some rain.
You got your wish. You know, you may not have it. It may wash your lawn away before it's over with. You may not have to worry about, the grass.
Right.
All the time. It may wash it down to the bedrock. So, now, Guitar Man Pete out there, he says he read an article that said that kids in shooting sports had high academic accomplishments and were less likely to turn to drugs, crimes, et cetera. I think in the short time we've done this series, I think we've proven that. But that's not, you know, anything to me, anything that, especially if they're doing competitively, that is a year around or more or less a year around competitive thing. And sadly, for the most part, non-sport related, as in, you know, soccer, basketball, football, you know, I guess team sport related. You know, I don't know. I mean, I see, and maybe I'm nitpicking here, and I know Ghost has done a lot with actual sports like that. But I don't know. It seems like I've seen kiddos before with the basketball, football thing, and, you know, they don't necessarily go on, the majority of them, I guess, don't necessarily go on to be the same type of kiddos that you see going on and doing things that are shooting competitors. It seems like there's a difference, and that may be unfair, and Ghost, I'll let you jump in here, but that may be unfair because there may be far more that play those organized sports as opposed to shooting competition, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got experience, and I've been a high school coach now for over 10 years. And I was also a college recruiter there for a couple of years, and I recruited for different sports for colleges and all of that. I will say this, most female athletes, and this is a generality, but most female athletes are pretty high academic for the most part.
because for them, they understand there's no NFL, there's no NBA. They understand that after college, it's real life. So they do care, seem to care more about academics. Now, what I'll say about the males, this is not all of them, but for the most part, most males that play individual sports like golf or tennis or swimming or track or whatever, it's not a part of a, you know, baseball, football, or basketball team aspect, seem to do pretty well. The ones that you have to worry about typically are the ones that are involved in team sports. I don't know why that is, but typically individual sports in males, and then most females are all academically pretty much inclined. And maybe it's because the baseball, football, and basketball players do have that dream of maybe I'll get to the NBA and I'm not going to need an education. I'm going to be rich. And I don't know. Correlation, but it is interesting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think back to one of the little cities in the county here had two junior colleges. And for years and years and years, it was quite sad, honestly. And one of them made the decision they were going to start a football program. And so they built, you know, spent a bunch of money, obviously, built a big, huge stadium and you know, dumped millions and millions, I'm sure, into the facilities and into all this other stuff, and then hiring coaching staff and then bringing, you know, giving out scholarships, obviously, and bringing in players. And at the end of the day, it basically cost them their college that was around for years and years and years at the end of the day. But it also took a toll on the community because of the riffraff they brought in on those scholarships. They went out and just, you know, man, there was drug charges and theft charges, and it was all the football players they brought in. You know, it was almost like, you know, what am I thinking? The Longest Yard or something, where they, it's like, good Lord, did you recruit these players from prison? But, you know, where did you go out and get your players? I mean, this is horrible. At the time I had a business in town, and ended up getting burned because brought in a stolen laptop. And, you know, until they shut the college down, and then thereafter, even for several months, was real careful, recorded serial numbers, had a relationship with the local PD, that sort of stuff. And I even did it on stuff that was brought in to be repaired, because you would see things come in to be repaired or something. They would bring one in and it's like, well, you know, I forgot my password, you know, or something like that. And that was common. You'd be surprised. And there's some Windows updates and some other goofy stuff that can happen and screw that up. So that's not necessarily a red flag. But, you know, I don't want to racially profile here, but when a black kid brings in a white kid, it could happen in reverse. In this instance, it was a black kid, brings in a laptop, wants that done. You know, and you get in the back and you break the password and everything on it, and the desktop is Family Christmas and it's a bunch of white people in turtlenecks in front of a tree. You're like, okay, this doesn't really add up. You know, and then you research it and it's like, oh, okay, that was stolen from a dorm, you know, or an apartment or something. Mm-hmm. Like, well, crap, you know. So we not only had to be careful, and yeah, I definitely don't want to racial profile it, because there was every color of the rainbow on that football team, and every one of them were troublemakers. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, you also got to look at it from the standpoint of when you're doing something, because especially out there in Texas, football is pretty big. And if you're bringing in talent from an outside your area, that's what you also got to look at, jobs, the livelihood of that student, because what it basically comes down to, for those who don't have or can't provide for, they're going to resort to getting it one way or another. And, you know, theft and drug selling is the way to do it.
Yeah.
Not the right way, but
yeah,
the way for,
well, and then it was, you know, like I said, for months afterwards, it was a perpetuated situation in a way, because what was weird is they brought these kids in for this, for the teams, and they had to put them up. They had to rent out like a whole block in a motel. And of course they picked the cheapest, rattiest, drug infested, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Motel to put them up in, which is not a great environment to put them in anyway. But because they didn't have, you know, those any facilities on campus to house them and stuff like that. So that's where they housed them. And so they put them in that situation, whatever. Well, you know, you got to realize you're a player. You've been given this, you know, full ride scholarship to come and play. And then the school closes down, you know, and you're right in a way. You know, somebody has sucked you up away from home. You could be from several states away or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you're in this, you know, you've been in this town for, well, they lasted one season, I think. So, you know, you've been in this town for a year, let's say 2 years tops. And, you know, now you're sitting there, you've got no scholarship. You've got, so, you know, you've got no place to stay. You've got no place to eat. You've got nothing, right? So, you know, unfortunately, at that point, crime is probably the easiest way to make money, right?
Exactly. Even when you sit there and you look at it, what was the incident that took place where the something broke and it started flooding in Louisiana and part of Texas? This was back when Bush was president.
Oh, when the levees or whatever?
Yeah, when the levees busted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a guy, he walked into either a Little Caesars or a Domino's Pizza, held him up at gunpoint, and only thing he said it was he wanted two large pizzas.
Right.
And, I mean, desperation, you know, so it's the
and
same
I've heard
thing.
Stories as, of, and know. I've heard stories of that, of you know, robbing places and.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, apologizing the whole time they're doing it.
Oh yeah. So, but I do remember like this article. The guy broke down and started crying and said he just wanted to feed his family.
Right.
You know. Yeah. And then of course they made the pizza. They didn't. They called the cops, but when the cops showed up, they was like they didn't want to press charges or anything because what the situation was.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's just that moment of desperation. When it comes, what will you do?
Yeah, but you know, in that particular situation, you know, is it possible? Would you? I don't know. It's hard to say. Would you resort to that extreme, or would you go there first and, you know, explain and go, look, you know, family's hungry, whatever. I guess what I'm saying is, would you look for? You know, there's obviously other alternatives. You don't have to do that. You know, there are, you know, churches, charitable organizations, simply charitable people. In restaurants and charitable people that own restaurants, right?
Yeah, but I mean, look at it from this standpoint. Like Perfect Society, you know, how many times have you went to Walmart or your shopping center and somebody's standing there with a sign, need gas or whatever the case may be, but that person is there every day doing that same hustle.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, you know, we get numb to it. But now when somebody actually needs the help, now we don't have the tolerance for it. So, and the same thing for like these kids that were in the area where you said like all the crime started coming in at, you know, so when that started taking place, because the generosity has already been numbed out, now you don't have the patience for it. Now this guy who could have been a top draft pick in the NFL or in the NBA, he got screwed over because of that one bad decision.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Andrew out there says, yeah, they asked for gas, but only want cash. Yeah. Or they, you know, I need food. And then you offer to give them food or buy them food. And they're like, you know, no. And I'm like, well, if you're really hungry. Yeah. And I got a good story with that. We're not talking about kids, but I was getting gas in town one day, and this was a town I don't live in. This was, you know, I don't know, an hour away or so. And I pulled in. I was at the Walmart at the gas pumps, and a couple approached me and told me that they had taken a bus that far. They were from Florida. They were trying to get to Dallas. her father had passed away or something, you know, and they were just trying to get up there to try to get that taken care of or whatever. Didn't have any money, you know, or really or anything. And, you know, we'd been here for, you know, all day, and this was in the evening. You know, we've been here all day, you know, trying to, and it was drizzling rain and a lot of other stuff. And, you know, sad story. I'm sure everybody's probably heard stuff like that. And so I was like, well, look, I'm going to go over here on my way. I'm fixing to head home. I was on my way home. And I said, I'm fixing to go over there to Wendy's. I believe it was Wendy's. I said, I'm going to give me something to eat. I said, let me buy you something to eat, you know, so that I can do that. And I don't, a lot of times back then anyway, I didn't carry a lot of cash. I did everything on a card. I couldn't have given them any money anyway, really.
Right.
And they were like, oh yeah, that'd be wonderful. Bless you. And all this other stuff. Right. And I'm like, well, what do you want? And they're like, oh, just a couple of burgers and fries, you know, and Cokes. And I'm like, okay, I can do that. I said, in a few minutes, I'll go over there and get them. Went over there, got my food, got their food, went back to the parking lot, never could find them. Never could find them. So I wasted whatever it was, you know, 10 bucks or something on them that, you know, basically I threw in the garbage.
Oh, wow.
More or less, you know, because I had my food. I didn't need theirs too. Right. And fast food is typically not very good warmed up, not after you drove, you know, an hour home. So if you ever bought McDonald's fries, you know,
oh, that's horrible.
And waited any kind of time to eat them. You know what I'm talking about.
McDonald's fries in the first 5 minutes are God's gift to the earth.
Yes.
30 minutes afterwards, they are evil.
They have the shortest shelf life of any consumer product, I think.
No doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd tell you one of the best videos I've seen on Facebook, and I saw it maybe earlier this year sometime, and it was a guy kind of shooting a video from like his car window, like a stoplight or something, and it had a homeless person or what appeared to be a homeless person holding a sign up on the side of the road that says, "We'll work for food." And this guy's just showing it on his video. And then the guy pans his camera over literally 5 feet. And there's a guy wearing a Walmart shirt holding a sign, "Walmart now hiring." And he's looking at the homeless person. This guy's saying, "We'll work for food." And the Walmart guys are saying, "Walmart now hiring." And the homeless guy was not even paying attention to the Walmart guy. So it's interesting that, you know, some people say they want to work for food, but when jobs become available, they may not want the jobs that are available. Well, in survival mode, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And if it came down to it, if I had to go and be a fry cook at McDonald's, then I'd be the best fry cook in the world to support my family.
Well, and you know, that's
that aspect though.
But you know, that's the thing. And you get into the whole, and we got to be careful not to get down too many rabbit holes with this, but all we were really doing here was filling some time. But, you know, that's where it gets into the whole minimum wage thing, right? It's like, you know, we got to raise minimum wage. Why don't you go into that minimum wage job, work your butt off? I guarantee you, if you go to any McDonald's in the country, any Taco Bell, Long John Silver's, pick the fast food joint, right? If you go in there with a can-do, you know, manage the place, pay attention, care about the company, care about the bottom line, whatever attitude, right? I can guarantee you, in 90 days max, you're going to be a manager of some sort. If not a store manager, you're going to be a regional manager or something. I know people that have done it. I know people that have taken minimum wage jobs at specifically Taco Bell and literally in 60 days been a regional manager, driving around with a company car and checking on multiple stores. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, you got to... You know, they say, well, you know, life gives you lemons, you know, make lemonade. And sometimes that's true. You know, take whatever it is and then make the best out of it. And when people see that you're doing that, you know, then they're going to offer you a leg up on that ladder. You know, typically that's going to happen. But there's, you know, with what you're talking about, a lot of the people, first of all, they get into a rut. That happens. But then the second thing is it's a lot more difficult. I get your premise, what you're saying about that, Ghost. But if you think about that situation, it's going and getting a job if you're to the point where you really don't have any nice clothes and you don't even really are not able to take a shower very often. And you know, you're virtually homeless and another thing. There's certain things that make it a whole lot easier, you know, to go out and get a job. You know what I mean? And some of those people may not have access to that. Now, that shouldn't necessarily stop them. And again, you've got, I mean, here in this county, and it's not a big populous county by any means. I mean, I can't think of all the charitable organizations in like closed places, right? Secondhand, where you go in and they would literally give you, you know, a week's worth of clothes, decent clothes that you could, you know, go hold a job in, right? And things like that. So, you know, you're right. I mean, in a way, you got to do what you got to do. Don't make excuses.
There was something that happened this past week here in my hometown, and kind of bring it back to kind of a youth thing. We have a youth football, a Pee Wee football, and it starts at third grade, goes to sixth grade, all that stuff. And there's, you know, there's 30, 40 kids at each age group that's playing and all that. And it's one of my good friends runs it, and it's a great organization. They do a great job. But one of the things that bothers me is every year he comes to me and probably 10 or 15 other people and asks for what he's called scholarship, because there are kids, and I get it, there are kids that can't afford the $75 to play fourth grade football. I get it. There's always going to be that. And he's asking, hey, will you guys, you know, I've got 20 kids this year that need scholarship. Do you think you guys could, you know, cut me a check for $75 and try to help these kids out? And I have no problem doing that, but, you know, it's been going on for several years. And I finally asked him, I said, look, I said, don't take this the wrong way. I said, I'm going to give you a $75 check. I said, but understand something. I said, you're actually feeding the monster of these kids at 8, 9, 10 years old that sports can get them free stuff. They can be special if they're good at sports. And I said, we don't need any more of that. I'm not saying that you can't go and ask people to give scholarships or whatever. I said, but have you ever thought about these kids getting out and doing a car wash or doing some sort of fundraiser so they actually have some skin in the game, that they're just not being handed a free season to play football at 10 years old? Maybe if you did a car wash and they actually had to go work for some of it, and then you had enough to fund 10 of those kids, well, then now you're only having to ask your friends to fund 10 scholarships instead of 20. But at least these kids have some skin in the game and they feel like they've earned the right to play football. And he didn't like that. And I thought that was very strange. And so we're basically teaching these kids at an early age that if you're good at sports, then you're going to be handed things. And that goes into one of the reasons why a lot of athletes get in trouble in college, is they've been told since the time they were 9, 10 years old that they're special. And if you're good at sports, you don't have to worry about doing anything. You're going to be taken care of. And then all of a sudden sports ends for them and no one's taking care of them anymore. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they have to go down.
Oh, we lost you. Yeah, we lost you, Ghost.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back.
Wow. I was there talking. Where did I end?
Heck, you were, I don't know. It almost sounded like you were almost, felt like you were almost done there.
Set must be at, is that better?
Yeah, you're better.
All right. I just took my headset off. Now I'm going
to speak. You were just talking about how the, you know, they felt that they were special, you know, stuff was
handed. Well, the premise of it is, you know, if we're teaching kids at 8, 9, 10 years old, that if they're good at sports, that they're going to be given things at that early age, that may go into the reason why some of these college athletes that have been told since they're 8, 9, 10 years old, as long as you're a good football player, you're not going to have to worry about anything. We're going to help you out. We're going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about going to school. You don't have to worry about clothes and all that. You're going to be taken care of. These kids go to college and all of a sudden sports is gone from their lives and they've never had to work or they've never had to earn anything. That might be one of the reasons why, like you're talking about with that football team, that they've had to go to the crime level, is they've never had to do anything because they've always been taken care of because they were good athletes.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can honestly say, like, when I was growing up playing sports and being pretty good at basketball, I wasn't promised anything, and nobody ever told me, like, hey, you can do this or you can get away with that. It's just when I would get in trouble, I would kind of get the smack on the wrist. Don't let it happen again, because you don't want to throw this away, you know. And but I was pretty good in school, so it wasn't like I went in class and here you're just going through school, you know. So I didn't have that issue. But overall, you know, it's when you're a good athlete and a young good athlete, you're kind of given things and kind of overlooked. And, you know, it's kind of weird to say it, but when other kids see it, you know, they probably start addressing you as being like the golden child or the favorite, however you want to word it. But I mean, if you have a talent, put it to use, but, you know, at the same time, hold that child to a standard, whereas they do have something to fall back on instead of the privilege of getting away with stuff.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, another thing too, you're talking about the, you know, whatever it is, what you the freebies you get or whatever is, you know, and it doesn't get talked about, but I know full well that it happens. Is the schoolwork. I know athletes, I mean, if you're good at running that football or throwing that football or, you know, those three pointers or whatever, right? You know, you can be dumb as a box of rocks. They'll find a way to get you in some kind of class somehow where you can pass, where you can play, you know? And that's exploitation to me in a way.
Right.
You know, they need to be, you know, focusing on, you know, taking those kids and dealing with, they may even have a learning disability. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're intentionally done as a box of rocks, but they could have a learning disability of some sort that's not being dealt with, for example, you know, or something like that. And all that these districts see is, oh, well, you know, he scores touchdowns or, you know, he, you know, double digit points a game or whatever, right?
Yeah, the high school I went to, we had my senior class, we had 30 of us that received college scholarships to play sports of whatever, maybe even more than that. I know it was at least 30. It was 30 something that received Division I scholarships to play athletics. And I would say that the vast majority of us didn't really go to class a whole lot. And I was one of them that my senior year, I could have graduated after my junior year, but I wanted to enjoy my senior year. The only class I had to take to graduate was senior English, and I scheduled that first period. As soon as first period was gone, I left school, and I was gone, and no one said a word to me.
Yeah, you know how it goes. A lot of times, like I said, I want to say if the student gets a scholarship, doesn't the high school get some form of a kickback or something for getting the kid a scholarship?
And I think that's going to depend on, I think that depends on the scholarship and
right
and some other things. But
1993, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like I said, I just know it's some form of one of those, hey, rub my hand, I rub your hand. But I know it's some form of a trade-off when stuff like that takes place.
Right.
But I never really researched it to like really find out.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, I think with that, I think we covered a pretty good topic here. I think we was talking about making lemonade out of lemons. I think we did it pretty well. Started out kind of slow, but I think we covered something that was fairly important. So I've got to go in and change the thumbnail and the title and all that good stuff now, which is fun. But we're gonna get out of here. Let's run it through the room. Mike, anything you need to talk about or plug?
Sure. Just like always, for those who like to listen to podcasts, you can find me weekly on the Black Man with the Gun podcast, where you can find me giving tips and a review segment. Also along the side of Ken Blanchard, who's the host, talking about different topics in the 2A community. If you haven't done so, go download the app, which is called Black Man with the Gun. If you want to give me a call and just talk about whatever's on your mind or gun-related stuff, please call me at 803-250-1256. Leave a voicemail or a text message if you want to get my opinion or views on topics related to the 2A community. If you are interested in having me do a product review for you or some business, call me at that same phone number, 803-250-1256, or email me at info@m-wtactical.com, and I promise I will get back to you. Every Tuesday, we put out a product review or a video, and if you want to check that out, go to GunStreamer and look me up under Munitions Weapons Tactical. But if you go to GunTube, OochTube, or YouTube, you can find me under M-W Tactical. Also, go to Facebook and Instagram and look me up under M-W Tactical. Give me a thumbs up, like, subscribe, follow my adventures in the 2A community. One of the last things we're going to talk about is we're trying to raise money for this community projects that I started. So I'm asking for everyone to help us raise some money with this campaign we started to get 3 deputy sheriffs into some jiu-jitsu training. And it's going to be at no cost to the sheriffs or the department. Right now, we raised the funds to get 1 officer into training, but we're also looking to purchase some 22 long rifle pistols to start a summer youth camp and also get more active in the community to get people out to vote. So for those who are interested, visit GoFundMe.com/M-W Tactical and help us get the goal. Our goal is to try to get $3,000 by October 1st. Again, that website is GoFundMe.com/M-W Tactical.
Sweet. Ghost, what about you?
Well, once you get done listening to Black Man with a Gun podcast, then my new podcast is released today, and it's called the Armed Citizen Podcast, and my inaugural guest was Patriot in the Dark, talking about being visually impaired and blind while in the gun community. It's a great podcast.
Yes,
you
can
find it on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher, and Spreaker. And if you're on any of those or all of those, whatever, you can go find whatever your best favorite podcast app is. But go check that out. I'll be releasing those, I'm thinking, every other week. So every 2 weeks, twice a month, I'll be doing that. It is not a live podcast. It is a produced, pre-recorded podcast. But go check out Patriot. He brings a really cool perspective in what he talks about being blind and still in the gun community. But thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, you bet. And a couple things is for us tomorrow, the nerd chat, we're going to talk a little bit about Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, and his congressional testimony. I'm not quite done watching the 4-some-odd hours and going through it, but I'm almost there, and there's some really interesting things that come up I think we should probably discuss and potential ramifications and that sort of thing across all of social media, of course. And then Friday, we do not have an industry guest for Friday. We're going to do the third, I think it is, installment of Ask the Panel Anything. So if you're out there, if you're on the email list for, you know, the panel shows like that, then be aware that that's going to be one where there will not be a limited panel. We'll bring on a full panel, or however many are willing to come on and kind of sit in the hot seat. Should be fun. With that said, again, if you're on the East Coast, do what you got to do. Prepare for the worst, hope for the best, and stay safe. That's it. We're out of here. We'll see y'all later.